B. The Chinese Communist Party's destruction of culture, religion, and severance of the connection between man and God. The CCP destroys traditional Chinese culture. Although China does not have a single religion for all people as in other countries, the Chinese people also have a firm belief in gods and Buddha. China's religious life is unique, unlike other regions rife with religious conflicts. Confucianism, Buddhism, Taoism, and even Western religions have coexisted peacefully in China. These beliefs are the foundation of China's traditional culture. Despite the Great Flood that caused the destruction of mankind, China preserved a complete civilization. Since then, the Chinese nation continued to develop. It has kept a continuous record of its 5,000-year history and created a splendid and magnificent era that earned the esteem of many nations. China was called the Celestial Empire. Its culture deeply influenced the entire East Asian region and led to the formation of a Chinese civilizational sphere. The opening of the Silk Road and the spread of the four great inventions, papermaking, the compass, gunpowder, and printing, to the West promoted global civilization and influenced the development of Europe and even the world. China's splendid culture and beliefs have been integrated into the marrow of the Chinese people in the course of 5,000 years, and this made it the target the communist evil specter wanted to destroy. However, simply deceiving and tempting the Chinese people to give up thousands of years of traditional culture and beliefs and accept the Western ideology of communism was impossible. Therefore, the CCP used all manner of evil tactics over decades of persistent political campaigns. Starting with violent slaughter, the CCP undermined the essence of religion, persecuted intellectuals, and destroyed traditional Chinese culture, including its material culture, architecture, temples, cultural relics, antique paintings, ancient curios, and the like. The party sought to sever the connection between God and man to achieve its goal of destroying traditional culture and destroying human beings. While destroying traditional culture, the party also systematically established the evil party culture and used it to cultivate and train those who were not killed in order to turn them into tools to undermine traditional culture. Some follow the communist specter to slaughter others. The CCP understands well how to use economic interests, political brainwashing, and other means to make people succumb to manipulation. Repeated political movements, suppression, and slaughter have made the CCP increasingly familiar with these tactics, and have allowed it to get ready for the final battle between the righteous and the evil in the human world. Destroying the bedrock of traditional culture. The landlords and gentry of rural areas, and merchants and scholar officials of urban areas, were the elites of China's traditional culture. They bore the mission of inheriting and spreading China's traditions. In the early stages of the CCP's seizure of power in 1949, the party used a series of movements such as the Land Reform Campaign, the Campaign to Suppress Counter-Revolutionaries, the Three Anti-Campaign and Five Anti-Campaign to massacre landlords, gentry in villages, and capitalists in cities. Plundering social wealth while creating terror, the party annihilated the elites who inherited and promulgated traditional culture. At the same time, using the methods of institutional adjustments to ideologically reform scholars, and indoctrinating them with materialism, atheism, and the theory of evolution, the CCP systematically brainwashed a new generation of students, instilling hate toward traditional culture. Through the anti-rightist movement in the 1950s, all disobedient intellectuals were exiled and sentenced to re-education through forced labor, casting them to the bottom of society. The party made the scholars, whose views were once respected and had guided society, the subject of mockery and ridicule. Following the eradication of the traditional elites, the process of inheritance and passing on of traditional Chinese culture, which had lasted generations, was put to an end. Young people who came along later were no longer enculturated, socialized, and nurtured in that culture through the family, school, society, and village, and thus became a generation without traditional culture. After the anti-rightist movement, whether in the family, school, or society, there were no independent voices. Yet the CCP was still not satisfied. After all, the elderly still preserved the memory of traditional culture, and the material carriers of traditional culture, including ancient artifacts and buildings, were everywhere. Moreover, traditional values continued to be passed along through art. In 1966, the CCP initiated a movement aimed at destroying traditional culture on a larger scale, the Great Cultural Revolution. Using students brainwashed after the establishment of the PRC, they stirred up adolescent restlessness and rebelliousness, and used the campaign of destroying the four olds, old ideas, old culture, old customs, old habits, to wreak havoc and catastrophe on traditional Chinese culture, After the Cultural Revolution, the hellfire of destroying the Four Olds burned across the land of China. Monasteries, temples, Buddhist statues and paintings, artifacts, and cultural sites were destroyed completely. The essences of Chinese culture that had been inherited and preserved for thousands of years was destroyed overnight, beyond restoration. Before the Cultural Revolution, there were more than 500 temples and monasteries in Beijing. Among the thousands of cities and towns in China, every town had ancient walls, temples, and monasteries. Ancient artifacts were everywhere. Just 1 foot below the earth, artifacts of recent history were to be found. Down another 2, 3, or 20 feet, artifacts left by preceding dynasties were countless. Yet during the Cultural Revolution, vast quantities of these items were destroyed. The campaign to destroy the Four Olds not only ruined the sites of religious practice, prayer, and cultivation, ancient places that represented the harmony between man and heaven, but also went about eradicating from human hearts basic righteous beliefs, such as the belief in the harmony between humans and the cosmos. Many people, believing that such traditions are irrelevant, may not think much of this, but when people cut their ties with gods, they will in turn lose God's protection and approach a dangerous abyss. At that point, it's only a question of time. Further, to cut off the Chinese people's connection with their ancestors and gods, the CCP took the lead in cursing the ancestors of the Chinese people and defiling and spurning traditional culture. Countries around the world usually revere their ancestors and kings of the past and value their traditions. Likewise, the sages and philosophers of Chinese history passed down a culture of splendor. This culture is a treasure that belongs to China and the world, and is worthy of the respect of future generations. Yet in the eyes of the CCP and its shameless propagandists, the emperor, generals, scholars, and gifted people of ancient China were good for nothing. Such an insult to one's own ancestors is indeed rare throughout history. Led by the CCP, the Chinese people came to oppose God, reject their ancestors, and destroy their own culture, putting them on a perilous road. Persecuting religions. Religious belief is a vital component of traditional Chinese culture, and the Taoism, Buddhism, and Confucianism known to the world were intertwined in their brilliance and lasted for thousands of years of Chinese history. Many Western religions also played a role in Chinese history. After the CCP obtained power through violence in 1949, it followed the Soviet Union. On one hand, the CCP promoted atheism and launched ideological attacks against belief in God. On the other hand, throughout a series of political movements, it used methods of violence and high pressure to suppress, persecute, and eliminate religions, including through the murder of religious practitioners. The persecution of those with orthodox faiths became more and more severe all the way until its peak, with the start of the bloody persecution of Falun Gong in 1999. After 1949, the CCP started persecuting religions on a large scale and banning religious gatherings. The CCP burned numerous copies of the Bible and scriptures from many other religions. It also demanded heavy punishments for Christians, Catholics, Taoists, and Buddhists, including that members register with the government and repent for supposed mistakes. Those who refused to comply were subjected to severe punishment. In 1951, the CCP also explicitly declared that those who continued to attend religious gatherings would be executed or imprisoned for life. Numerous Buddhist monks were chased away from temples or forced to live and labor in secular settings. Catholics and Western priests in China were jailed and tortured. Chinese priests also went to jail, while believers were executed or sent to reform through forced labor. Christian priests and followers met the same fate as the Catholics. After 1949, more than 5,000 Chinese Catholic bishops and priests were jailed or executed, and only a few hundred remained. Some foreign priests in China were executed. The rest were expelled. Over 11,000 Catholics were killed. Numerous followers were arrested arbitrarily or were subjected to extortionate fines. According to incomplete statistics, within the first few years of the CCP's rise to power, nearly 3 million religious followers and members of religious organizations were arrested or executed. Like the Soviet Communist Party, to strengthen the leadership over religion, the CCP established regulatory agencies for each group, such as the Chinese Taoist Association, the Chinese Buddhist Association, and the like. Against Catholics, the CCP established the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association, which it fully controlled. All religious associations were made to follow the party's will, which controlled and fought reformed members. At the same time, The CCP used those associations to perform deeds that could not be done by the evil specter directly, to sow discord in and corrupt Orthodox religions from within. The CCP treated Tibetan Buddhism the same way. After dispatching armies and occupying Tibet in 1950, the CCP started a heavy persecution of Tibetan Buddhism. The 14th Dalai Lama escaped Tibet in 1958 and lived in exile in India, which the CCP considered a rebellion. In May 1962, the 10th Panchen Lama submitted to the CCP's State Council a report about the party's sabotage of Tibetan culture, especially its Buddhist traditions. As for the eradication of Buddhist statues, Buddhist scriptures and Buddhist stupas, basically speaking, apart from a very small number of monasteries, including the four great monasteries which were protected, in Tibet's other monasteries, and in the villages, small towns, and towns in the broad agricultural and animal herding areas, some of our Han cadres produced a plan, our Tibetan cadres mobilized, and some people among the activists, who did not understand reason, played the part of executors of the plan. They usurped the name of the masses, and put on the face of the masses, and stirred up a great flood of waves, to eliminate statues of the Buddha, Buddhist scriptures and stupas, threw them into water, threw them onto the ground, broke them and melted them. They recklessly carried out wild and hasty destruction of monasteries, Buddhist halls, mani walls, and stupa, and stole many ornaments from statues of the Buddha, and precious things from the Buddhist stupas, because the government purchasing bodies were not careful in making distinctions. When purchasing non-ferrous metals, they purchased many statues of the Buddha, stupas and offering vessels made from non-ferrous metals, and showed an attitude of encouraging the destruction of these things. As a result, some villages and monasteries looked as if they were not the result of man's deliberate actions, but rather they looked as if they had been accidentally destroyed by bombardment, and a war had just ended, and they were unbearable to look at. Furthermore, they unscrupulously insulted religion, using the Tripitaka as material for fertilizer, in particular using pictures of the Buddha and Buddhist sutras to make shoes. This was totally unreasonable, because they did many things which even lunatics would hardly do. People of all strata were thoroughly shocked, their emotions were extremely confused and they were very discouraged and disheartened. They cried out, with tears flowing from their eyes, "Our area has been turned into a dark area," and other such piteous cries. After the Cultural Revolution started in 1966, many lamas were forced to turn secular, and numerous precious scriptures were burned. Until 1976, out of the 2,700 temples originally in Tibet, only 8 were left. Jokhang Temple, built more than 1,300 years ago before the Tang Dynasty and the most important temple in Tibet, was also ransacked during the Cultural Revolution. In China, the cultivation of Taoism has an ancient history. More than 2,500 years ago, Lao Tzu left behind the Tao Te Ching comprised of 5,000 characters. It is the essence of Taoist cultivation. The spread of the Tao Te Ching was not limited to Eastern countries, many Western countries also translated it into their native languages. Yet during the Cultural Revolution, Lao Tzu was criticized as hypocritical, and the Tao Te Ching was deemed feudal superstition. The core beliefs of Confucianism were benevolence, righteousness, the moral disposition to do good, proper conduct, wisdom, and trust. Confucius set the moral standards for generations. During the Cultural Revolution, the rebels in Beijing led the Red Guards to Chufu, Confucius's hometown, where they sabotaged and burned ancient books and smashed thousands of historical tombstones including that of Confucius. In 1974, the CCP started another movement to criticize Lin Biao, criticize Confucius. The CCP considered as worthless the traditional thinking of Confucianism regarding how one should live and the moral standards to uphold. Even more brutal and tragic was the persecution launched in July 1999 by then party leader Jiang Zemin toward Falun Gong, also known as Falun Dafa, and its cultivators, who practice truthfulness, compassion, tolerance. Furthermore, the party carries out organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners, a crime that has never before existed on the planet. During a short few decades, the CCP completely devastated thousands of years of China's traditional culture, moral values, and beliefs in self-cultivation. As a result, people no longer believed in gods, turned away from God, and experienced a spiritual emptiness and corruption of moral values. Thus society worsened day by day,